devices. In addition, we ask that you only have kosher approved food and drink to respect our host, the temple. My name is Mike, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Mike.
This is an open meeting of the Beacon Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting, declining outside contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The Beacon Group insists on providing a safe and effective meeting place to all who wish to recover from alcoholism. Therefore, we ask all attendees to foster a secure and welcoming environment, refraining from any behavior that might compromise another's safety. As our traditions remind us, our common welfare is paramount. Each member of Alcoholics Anonymous is but a small part of a great whole. For more information about safety in AA, see the AA safety card and safety in AA, our common welfare. Please join me in the serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Steve will read the steps.
My name's Steve, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Steve.
We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unimaginable. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. We made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. We made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. We continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs.
Thank you. The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers, followed by our main speaker who will speak for 30 minutes. All our meetings are recorded and accessible on our website, beacongroupaa.com. We support AA's statements of unity and anonymity and therefore ask all our speakers to identify by first name only and to refrain from using profanity. Tonight, our first 10-minute speaker is Shah Jahan.
Thank you. Shah Jahan, alcoholic.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me here, Brian. I appreciate it. Man, I haven't been to this meeting in a really, really long time. When Brian first asked me to do this, I was seething with confidence. I'd come off a really, really exciting summer and stuff. And since then, you know, I've been kind of depressed. So I'm just like laying that groundwork first. I figure this is the kind of place where you can say that and it's like not a big deal. It's nothing in particular, you know, it's possibly me turning 40 next month. Up until this point, it's been like, you know, every decade of my life has actually been progressively better than the previous. I'm sure maybe some of you can identify with that. Maybe it's some of that. You know, also, one thing that I have learned about myself in years that sometimes, like, I'm kind of a sad guy, and that's, like, okay. Sometimes there's, like, nothing outwardly I can do inwardly. I do a lot of pretty, you know, serious things to take care of myself today. I eat well, exercise, do all the things that I could never have imagined, I guess, that I could never have imagined on, you know, January 4th, 2011, which was the last day that I was out drinking, getting high. You know, I could never have imagined that, like, my life would look the way that it does now, that the kinds of things that I'm struggling with, I think today, are the kinds of things I would be struggling with. So, you know, I think that, I guess, yeah, so when I first came around, when I was, like, finally ready to give in, I had started coming to meetings and stuff when I was 19, but I didn't really come in until I was 27. I just, like, dove in, you know, finally did everything that people said to do. And I think I went every day, or close to every day, to meetings for, like, 3 years, because I could. I was really lucky. You know, like, I had a place to live. My, even though they could have easily done so, my parents, you know, kept me around. And I got a lot of support from, you know, several people in this room. And also, this is a great place to get sober. And yeah, like, I just, like, did all the things that I saw people around me doing. And yeah, man, like, my life got a lot better pretty quickly. I think for me, around year 5 or 6, I feel like I've noticed that is sort of a make or break time in some ways in sobriety for people, where, like, you know, you get stuff back in your life, and rightfully so, like, things get busy, and you start, you know, maybe not going to as many meetings or whatever. For me, it was like a combination of that and also just some personal, like, identity stuff, you know, that I was dealing with. And so I think around year 5, 6, maybe 7 is when I just, for one reason or another, you know, like, I just needed to get some other help. And I did, you know, and I'm really proud of the help that I got. And yeah, man, I am one of those people that, you know, got back, like, everything that I thought I had lost forever. I'm really fortunate to get to do what I do for a living. It's not always, like, the easiest, you know, kind of work, but anything worth doing, I think, is worth struggling for. But yeah, I think, like, in the last couple of years, I have, the thing that I think I miss about this stuff is, like, there was this guy who I used to go to meetings with, who would say, like, he was, like, a total straight-up Boston dude, and he was like, you know, you can do whatever you want, but, like, this maybe costs, like, $1, you know, I think I miss the, like, the companionship and the accountability that I have, that I, like, found here. You know, I'm not one of those people that, like, left and you know, used or anything like that. But I feel like I, thank you. I think in the last year or two, I have felt a little bit of, like, a spiritual void, you know, and if I'm brutally honest, I don't think I, like, at some point I stopped working on that portion. So it's, again, it's kind of like, it's not like a big emergency, right? But it's one of those things that I think has been maybe, like, gnawing at me a little bit. I mean, the good thing is that this is always, it's nice to be able to, you know, reset. You know, I definitely still, I feel proud of, you know, being able to, like, verbalize this stuff even, you know. I know that for me, like, when I first came in, I don't know, I just had, like, 2 maybe different settings, like, suicidally depressed or, like, you know, inebriated in one way or the other, and I just had no real, like, I didn't have any vocabulary to describe, like, what I was going through. So I think what I'm saying in what has now turned into a live therapy session, I guess, is that I know some things I gotta do. I'm afraid to do some of them. I've started to do some of the other ones. You know, even though this kind of like stopped being like number one priority for me, like it hasn't gone below like rung three or four, you know, like this is, I still, anybody that knows me in life, knows that this is like a huge part of who I am. I've made myself available in other ways, you know, and it's ways that I found to like be of service outside of specifically like AA and stuff, which has been really cool. I had all these ideas about what I was going to say today, and I've said none of them. I don't want to like ramble or anything, but I really appreciate everybody being here. Thanks so much.
Shahjahan. We will now observe the seventh tradition. The seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. We are passing the basket, but you may also observe the seventh tradition digitally on Venmo. There is a QR code in the basket, and our Venmo handle is @beacon-group. Although there are no dues or fees for AA membership, we do have expenses. Our rent is $200 per month. Please give what you can and see our treasurer, Megan, with any questions. We thank you in advance for your generosity. AA also has a set of traditions which apply to the group in the same manner that the 12 steps apply to the individual. Tonight, Marie has been asked to read the 12 traditions.
The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. 6, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you. Beacon Group is run by a business meeting which meets on the third Wednesday of each month directly after the meeting in person and online. That's next Wednesday. This is your opportunity to get more involved. All group members are encouraged to attend and participate. We hope you can join us. Will all group members please raise their hands? And now let's welcome our second 10-minute speaker, Danica.
Woo! Hi, Danica, I'm an alcoholic. It is so nice to be here. I haven't been to this meeting in quite some time. This is my home group when I was first getting sober. And for a few years after that, I was in charge of coffee here for about a year. I'm very grateful for this meeting in general. So I just want to start, my sobriety date is September 6, 2015. So last Wednesday I celebrated 8 years of continuous sobriety, which is incredible to me. So just kind of my experience, strength and hope. Just briefly, like, I came in here, these halls, when I was 27 years old. I didn't know that I was an alcoholic, but like, I knew that I didn't want to live anymore. So my therapist at the time suggested that I just try a meeting. Just show up to a meeting, see what you think, because I was out of ideas. I didn't know what else to do. And like, that's as dark as it got for me. Like, I didn't know how to live. Like, I just didn't, it was just my last resort. It was the last house on the block for me. And so I was living with my brother at the time, right across from St. Elizabeth's Hospital, and I ended up finding a meeting on Wednesday nights, going to the meeting at like 7:30, and like, it was stereotypical what I thought of alcoholism. It was all these older men speaking about like their drunken history and myself. I later realized that that was a better late than never meeting, men's only. but like, regardless, like, even in that first meeting, like, I identified, and I remember like leaving that meeting and like identifying with some of the speakers, just how they talked about alcohol, like how the obsession, the cravings of alcohol. Like, I was one of those alcoholics that I drank alone a lot, and so I always thought that I wasn't hurting anyone else except for myself. And throughout a lot of step work, great sponsorship throughout this program, I've realized that's not the truth. I've actually hurt a lot of people through my drinking. I identified with the fact that once I picked up, I could not stop. Growing up, my parents are very liberal about drinking. We always had a glass of wine at dinner since I was like 18, 19 years old. And I remember like my parents would have a glass and put a half bottle of wine in the fridge, and I'd obsess about that half bottle of wine. Even like around 18 or 19, I didn't understand why they didn't finish it. So I would finish it for them. Like, I would take the wine, I would drink on my couch, watch TV. And like, I love that feeling of like just being like that drunken state. I love that feeling of like not thinking about anything. And then like over time, one bottle turned into two. And like, it just really progressed till there. So I walked into these halls. I didn't stay sober at first. I relapsed a couple of times. But like, AA was always there for me. Like, I knew I could always find a meeting. It took me a few months to realize that there was young people meetings. There were women in AA. And it was just very helpful. Like, my home group today is Lit Tuesdays. It's a women's and non-binary meeting. We meet at St. Paul's Church on Tuesdays, where I guess you guys used to meet. I go to that religiously when I can. I have a sponsor. She knows she's my sponsor. She's brought me through the steps a few times at this point. I'm stuck on my fourth step, I know, Katie. But this whole, like, I just can't say enough good things about this program. And like, I've been thinking about it. Like, my first year of sobriety was really difficult. People had told me, like, just keep coming, just keep showing up. So I did. And, like, I commend everyone. Like, it's not nice outside, and, like, people still showed up. You still walked through the rain to make it to a meeting. Like, that's huge. And that was the best piece of advice that I had gotten early in sobriety, that, like, when in doubt, just show up. So I did. I didn't have a car. I would take the T everywhere. I would walk everywhere. I would find meetings. I would try new meetings. And like I remember, like when I first entered this program, like I was, like most people have heard my story before. I was living with my younger brother, like in his sunroom, in the middle of July, like mooching off of him and like two other friends. I didn't have a buck to my name. I had maxed out credit cards, and like people just told me to keep coming. And like I think I had a job that didn't make a lot of money. And like towards my first year of sobriety, I remember losing my job like a couple days before and like being like, this is it. Like, this is what I got sober for. Like, my life is worse. Like, I feel like it's worse, but like people are telling me to show up, like keep doing the thing. And like, it was just one of those things where it's like, I was about to get kicked out of my apartment because I couldn't afford it. My parents were in Florida. I thought I was gonna have to move to Florida. And like, I just remember getting on my knees and praying in my bathroom at the time. And like, I got offered two jobs at once the next day, like one on the spot and like one I'd interviewed for. It was like a swimming instructor job, and I took them both. Like, and I was able to like work my ass off my second year and just keep showing up. Like, and I think for me, like 8 years into this, like I have to put AA above everything else. Like if I'm a firm believer that like anything that I put in front of AA, I will lose. And like my life is so full today. Like I think about it, like I met a boy a year and a half in at Nekipa. He was living in a sober house. He probably had two months. And we were just good friends for a while. And we celebrated our 1 year wedding anniversary last Sunday. We have a second little boy on the way. We have a 16-month-old, 17-month-old now that's like the light of our lives. Like he's sober. We work separate programs. But it's just like my life has gotten so full. And I'm very thankful to Alcoholics Anonymous for that. So if I could give you one piece of advice, it would just be to keep coming. Just show up even when it's shitty outside. Just walk through the rain. I do need to make it a point to come to this meeting more because I do miss it. And that's all I have.